Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining me on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property and Zach Lucy from Ember Electrical, proud station sponsors. Good morning.
Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Now today we're talking everything electrical.
Correct.
So don't forget the sparky.
Definitely don't forget the sparky.
All right. What do we need to know about renovating and electrical?
First off, making sure that the electrician is a licensed electrician. So would you like to fill in what you need to go through?
So essentially for any electrical work to be carried out on your property, you've got to have an electrical contractor. Mm-hmm. And there is a big difference between a contractor and a worker. So you can't just have your mate who's a sparky come around and work on your house. He has to go through a few extra courses and stuff like that to obtain that contractor license. Essentially, he then gets registered with the licensing board and he can come out and... I guess firstly, correctly do the work, make sure that all the legal paperwork's done, and then he's also liable for anything that goes wrong. So if you just have your mate come around that's a sparky by trade and something does happen to your property, your insurance is going to be void.
Right.
Which is what we keep bringing up. Insurance is a big issue, especially if the work's not done by registered trades as well. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, there are apprenticeships. There's always an apprentice on hand with most electricians. Yeah. They're always there. How long do they work for?
So your apprenticeship is 4 years, unless you're really good and can get signed off slightly earlier. Generally 4 years for your apprenticeship and then some extra training for your contractor's ticket.
Well, I think that insurance thing is a very important point.
It's what most people don't think of, which is why we've made sure that we keep reiterating it and also about having the registered trades, because you want to make sure that if you're going to do it right and do it safely as well. So every electrician, when they've finished a job, if they've done any work on your property, should also give you a copy of a compliancy report.
Yeah, that's right.
So any work they do on a property, they have to fill out that report, and so they should be giving you a copy of that so you've got that copy for your records.
So if you do have a mate who is a sparky,
they
can do work for you. However, they have to do it legitimately.
Yeah, correct. So if you've got a mate who's just a electrical worker, so an employee that works for someone else, he can't come out and do the work for you. It has to be a electrical contractor who has gone through the extra relevant training that allows him to come out and do licensed work
on their own.
Yeah.
And you've got an EL number, is that right?
Say EC number.
EC
so
number.
So an electrical contractor will have an EC number as well as an EW number,
which they'll
display on any, for instance, their trailer or van will have to have that number on there. That's how you know that they're a contractor and can come around and do the work for you.
Okay, so you want them to be an EC, not an EW?
Yep.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, so what do we need to know when we are working with an electrician? To start with, what's the first thing? We've ripped the place down, it's gutted. Now we've got the tradies are coming in and we're putting it all back together. Or do we need to go first? Do we need the electrician before that?
The electrician is the first one on site,
along
with the plumber. Because they come in, and if there's lights to be changed, they'll come in and remove them, and then they make them safe. The term is make them safe.
Mm-hmm.
If there's points or anything being changed or updated, they do that. And then, of course, if there's any relocations, then they have to do that work. So they're literally the initial part of the demolition crew, as we call it.
You really can't be ripping things apart without having your sparky involved.
Yeah, correct.
Otherwise, you are going to have it.
Frizzy hair?
Yes.
Frizzy hair. But no, they're the first ones on point in our jobs anyway. Specifically, the electrician is the first one on point. So if you go through and change all the lighting, then we spoke about the LED lighting previously. Mm-hmm. If you go through and change that, then we actually take all the old lights out first, because then, like Vic mentioned, with all the lights gone, it's easy to paint. So that's why these guys are important to get up front.
Okay. So lighting's one thing, but what's something else that usually needs to be updated?
Generally, something that's always missed is the switchboard, essentially. A lot of people just go for that instant, like, oh, I've brought new appliances, I've brought new kitchen bench, such and so. Everything that you always see, they always go for first. And they always tend to forget the switchboard components. So if you're out somewhere like Darlington sort of way, that's a fairly old suburb, you're probably still running those old ceramic fuses.
Yeah.
And those things are shocking. They are going to burn out. Like, you don't have any choice. They will burn out eventually and cause you dramas. So if you are doing a large renovation, or even if you're just upgrading appliances, you always need to consider upgrading your switchboard as well. Okay. Just the individual circuit breakers for those individual circuits you're touching, or the whole thing, because realistically, to upgrade a residential switchboard, it can range from, say, $1,000 to maximum like $3,000. That's the cost of a half decent oven, or, you know. Mm. And realistically, like on my own renovation recently, I spent $10,000 on appliances. A switchboard renovation in itself is like 1/10 of.
So it's cost, better so. To. So basically, you know, it's nice to have the nice looking appliances, yeah. but it's better to have the reliable power to actually work them from.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and the other thing with the switchboards as well is making sure they're updated to current legislation, which yep. is the two RCDs.
Yeah, yep, yep. So if you want to sell, rent, or lease out your property, you've got to have a minimum of two RCDs to cover your power and your lighting circuits.
Mm-hmm. So for people who don't know, what is an RCD?
So a RCD is more commonly known as a safety switch. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the safety switch protects you and your family from shock. It works by picking up, I won't go into too much detail, but it works by picking up the potential difference across the active and the neutral conductor.
Mm-hmm.
If you get in line of that, it'll trip.
Hmm.
So saving you in, yeah.
Yeah, saving you,
yeah.
basically.
So it trips the power out. Yeah.
It does, yeah. And the other thing, of course, in the house, we've talked lighting and switchboard, but you've also got your smoke detectors, which, again, there's legislation for yeah. the rental side and as well. So
yeah, so just on the smokies, I guess, there isn't really a hard and fast sort of rule. There is for smaller properties, but every property really needs to be looked at as a individual sort of one in itself, because for instance, if you've got three or four corridors that each have a bedroom down them, then they all need to be covered.
Mm.
If you've only got two corridors that have bedrooms attached to them, then you would just have two smokers. If you've got a multiple level building, you might have to have four or five.
Mm.
And obviously if they're then going to be installed, they should all be linked together so that when one goes off, they all go off.
Yep. And hardwired?
Where they can be. You can install a 10-year lifelong battery-powered smoke alarm under certain conditions. So if you can't actually get the cable into it, so say it's like a concrete slab, and because you've got a second story,
mm-hmm.
then you could install one of those. And you can actually get ones that have a radio link with them, so that you don't actually have to run a wire between the two. So there are ways around difficult situations, but it's only in those difficult situations that you can actually install those battery-powered 10-year.
So the main thing is, though, you've got to have a minimum of one, obviously, because it's got to be near the bedrooms, between the, I suppose, the cooking areas and the bedrooms is the basic area. If you've got more than one, they have to be interlinked. Where they can be, they must be hardwired. And where they can't, that's where the electrician then has to determine if it has to be the 10-year or the radio signal. But only the electrician can actually determine that. And then at the end of that, they give you the compliance certificate. So if it's a rental property, that goes to the managing agent so they can see that all the smoke detectors are done for their records.
Is that something you can ask your Sparky? Can you say, listen, you know, can you make sure they're interlinked? Is that something that every Sparky should know?
Yeah, essentially, yes.
But
every Sparky should know that. Every electrician should be keeping up with the legislation changes. It's part of their duty of care to their clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a website that you can go on, and it's a government website. It's www.dfes.com, I believe. That's the Department of Fire and Emergency Services. And they literally just have a picture of a house plan, like several different house plan pictures, where they recommend you to install your smoke alarms. So at least you can jump on there, have a quick look before your Sparky comes around, and then you can run through it and have a better idea of what you need to do.
Which is, again, doing their research, doing that planning up that actually helps them. So by them having a better understanding, it helps the electrician when they come on board, and it helps better communication between the trades as well, as with yourself, should I say.
So you were saying there's different sorts of smoke alarms. Are they all still those round ones that sort of suck up like a spaceship on the ceiling?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. The suck up like the spaceship. No one could see that actual picture, could they?
No.
You got the photoelectric type, and that's the main one to consider because that's the one that DFES actually recommends over the ionisation one. Sorry, that's a hard word. Me personally, I only install the photoelectric ones because that's what's recommended.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, definitely.
And there is a few YouTube clips actually on those, and they do perform a lot quicker and they are more reliable. So definitely, if you are upgrading, chuck those in.
So if you're not renovating, if you're just going through and doing an upgrade of your smoke alarms,
yep.
What are you looking at cost wise to sort of go through?
It sort of depends.
If we're doing three. Smoke alarms.
If it's like real, really quick, really simple to get in, get out, do your job, you might be looking at 140 plus GST for each smoke alarm.
It's not much, is it?
No, it's not much. And of course, again, that helps with your insurance as well, because it's your insurance on yourself. But it's not much to go through, but every job is different as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it depends
yeah.
until they get up in the roof and see what's going on as well. It's really hard for them to judge it. So,
yeah. So you're looking around at $1,000 to...
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that much. Mm-hmm. Realistically, for me to come in and install two smoke alarms in somebody's house that's got relatively easy access, it would be, for me personally, it would be like 140 plus GST.
That's if you find no problems.
That's why it's very hard to put prices on things until you're on site and see.
That would be a rough price I would quickly quote over the phone. Mm. However, if you do get there and find other things, then they would need to be fixed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to lighting.
Yes.
And that's one of the main things when we're renovating. There is that focus on lighting.
Mm.
So what do we need to be considerate of in that respect?
I guess with existing lighting that's in place, like my own house, when I brought that had 38 halogen downlights in them.
Oh.
So it's like having 38 like little ovens in your roof space. They're definitely...
Tanning bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're definitely worth upgrading, which I'm slowly doing myself, just when they pop.
If you're upgrading, straight to LED. It's economical. They're better to run.
Yeah.
The biggest issue I always tell, especially real estate agents and clients, no globes because they're an actual fitting. So there's no actual globe in them to change. And what's the average lifespan they've got now?
They range really, but a good LED you might get like 80,000 hours out of.
Which is 10 plus years easily.
Yeah,
so don't change a globe for 10 plus years. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I think we all do. So, and on a rental property... That's a big plus because obviously tenants not changing globes when they leave is a big issue. So having LEDs throughout, if you're doing it for a rental property, agents love it.
Mm, okay, well, let's talk about the number of lights. You said there were 38 in your place.
Yeah, just in one place alone. Yeah.
So how many is too many?
You can sort of, well, that number for halogen downlights is way too many, so my power bill was really super high when I first brought. Realistically, though, you can't really have too many of anything because you can modify and change the installation to suit.
Right.
However, it is very easy to overload a circuit with higher current draw lights. So if you are sort of, for instance, I had that many lights in my house, right? And then I wanted to add in two fan heat light units. But because I was already using so much power, when I'd turn all those lights on, I had to run a separate circuit in. For those extra two lights, because I turn them all on and the circuit breaker would trip. So that's really the benefit with LEDs now as well, is that when you upgrade, you get some of that spare power back, essentially.
Yes.
So that's another reason in itself.
It saves on the power bills as well, especially with the prices going up at the moment, as we've heard again. So.
But really... for me, you can't really have too much of anything. Like, I love lights. I love having bright rooms and that you can work in as well, and especially inside your kitchen you want heaps of light.
And LEDs give a very good coverage that the old lights definitely didn't do. So they've got 100%. A very good overall coverage. They come in different colours. You have the warm white, the cool white, the daylight white. Mm. So like the warm white's got that yellowy tinge to it. The cool white's got a blue tinge. And then the daylight white is personally my favourite. It's a clean white light. So, and the thing is, they come, a lot of the little downlights now, you can actually interchange them. So the electrician can say, put it in there and say, well, which one do you want? And have a look and see what you like. But yes, so, and you were also saying as well, because the heat factor with the halogens.
The benefit to the LED lights now is that you can actually cover them with insulation, depending on the type of LED. You can actually cover them with insulation and have them abutted next to timber beams as well. So your old halogen downlight would get up to like 180 degrees, which I've clocked with a temp gun. And I've clocked a LED light at like 35 degrees. So there's massive, massive heat difference.
So less heat in the roof space means the air conditioning doesn't have to work as hard to keep the house cool, which again saves on your power bill. Mm. So the LED lighting doesn't just save on the actual lighting power itself, it also saves on other areas in the house. So it's actually the only form of lighting I'm actually recommending now, because it is that beneficial to clients. Mm.
The best thing is as well is that like since I've started to upgrade my house, if I leave a light on, I don't have to drive back and turn it off, because I know that
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they're fabulous tips. The one thing is, ask about that interlinking and make sure your smoke alarms are up to date.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and communication with your electrician. Keep that communication open, because it will save you money.
Yep, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property and Zach Lucy from Ember Electrical, proud station sponsors.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.